Hey, so thank you for that introduction, and good afternoon to everybody. Thanks for coming out. It's a full house, actually, so that's great. And so again, just as a quick recap, I'm a family and emergency doctor. I assure you in Canada that is actually possible. I'm here to talk to you a little bit today about a project a few of my colleagues from across Canada and the U.S. have been working on to look at a framework to understand short-term experiences in global health. You've heard about, from our previous speaker, about how important they are and how many students are engaging in them, so now hopefully we can try to give you a bit of an understanding of different groups that are engaging in it. So unfortunately, nobody's paying me to do this. If you'd like to start doing that, we can talk afterwards. So to start with, I thought I would ask a quick question from the audience. Anybody have an idea of where this picture was taken? Shout it out if you have an idea. So it's in Canada. Banff, I hear Banff. Anybody have any ideas? Come on, somebody shout out one answer. Montreal's on the other side, it's close. Anyway, it's Cato Lake. It's in Alberta, so I took this. It's a shameless plug for my medical school, University of Calgary. It's close by. Did that on a bike trip one day. So I thought I'd start off by talking about STAGs, or short-term experiences in global health. Essentially, a STAG, to us, is any sort of experience where you're going to an international destination to a low- or middle-income country for a period of anywhere from 2 to 30 days, perhaps even more. With the nature of global health, it can encompass any sort of subspecialty or specialty, whether it's public health, medicine, nursing, engineering, law, or otherwise. And so when I was a first-year medical student, this is what a STAG meant to me before I went to Tanzania in my first year. It was climbing Kilimanjaro, going on safari, climbing Machu Picchu. I guess I didn't really understand geography that well. And in popular media, that sort of impression and understanding of what a short-term experience is has led to articles like this in CNN, or a little bit closer to home for myself in the National Post, looking, and this is from 2013, looking at how negative these short-term experiences can be. So what we wanted to do as a group was actually frame shift a little bit away from this notion that everything that is a STAG must be bad, because it's really a dichotomy, and there's a big spectrum of different organizations that are engaging in these short-term experiences. So the question shouldn't necessarily be whether all of these experiences are bad, but what experiences are positive, and if there's some sort of framework we can use to identify what's happening. And it's not necessarily to say one is any better than the other, it's just to give a clear picture of the heterogeneity that's in the field. So the framework itself, we developed it using three main principles. We're looking at the sending and receiving institutions, the number of partners you have that are on the ground, and whether or not you're there on an intermittent or continuous basis. So this is a quick table just showing a basic outline of that. I'm going to talk about these five different groups that are outlined here. There's more that's in the paper we're writing up, but for the purposes of 15 minutes, can't really talk of all of them. So the first one is our parachute model. So it's just as the picture looks. Essentially, you're coming off the airplane, jumping out into the unknown. You don't really know what you're going to encounter on the ground. This particular type of model, you don't have a local partner, and you're going on an intermittent or potentially continuous basis. But you're a singular sending organization. So this particular type of model confers huge advantages to the teams that are sending. There's lots of flexibility. You can go wherever you want. You can go for however long you want. You can send and do whatever program. However, there's a lot of downsides where potentially you might set up a healthcare center in, let's say, rural Kenya, not realizing there's another healthcare center across the road you never encountered, and you're actually taking their patients and their business. And then you end up shutting them down in the end. So that's the first model. The next one is a bit of another, I suppose, shameless plug, but it's something that's close to home for me, being the executive director of Bridge to Health. Our organization, and don't be confused by this to the world, we changed our name recently, but it's the same organization. Basically, we are a single sending organization. We currently have a single partnered site in southwestern Uganda. Our mission statement is four main pillars. One of them is partnering with great local community not-for-profit development organizations. And then the other three aspects are conducting high-quality medical and dental brigades, building local capacity, and educating and training locals. Locals is important because it's not just healthcare providers, it's also the population. So that means when we go into rural communities, we teach kids how to brush their teeth, toothbrushes, toothpaste, other healthcare initiatives. So you know, if you were to look at this from a STEG standpoint, as an academic institution or otherwise, you might just see the medical and dental brigades and volunteers going over for a two-week period of time and think that there may not be actually a positive advantage sustainably to the communities you work with because of advances in modern technology and being able to communicate on a year-long basis. We're able to engage in research projects, online web-based platforms for knowledge and training, where we actually put up podcasts and lectures and otherwise. So the next piece is shifting gears a little bit. We're looking now at a multiple sending organization and a single receiving organization on an intermittent basis. So we're looking at the 53rd week as our example here. They work in Dominican Republic. They started out initially similar to Bridge to Health, but they were only focused on the clinical work, going down for a two-week period of time. And they realized that there were multiple organizations all sending teams for a 2 to 4 week period to the exact same community. So what they did was they decided to corral all those different organizations and create one unified group. So they're still under their own umbrellas, but as you can see in the picture in the top right, they're at a meeting in the U.S. where all the leaders of these different groups are getting together to talk about how to coordinate their activities. So in essence, you turn this, what on paper would seem like a short-term experience that doesn't have a lot of impact, into a continuous year-long program that actually helps the partner they're working with in the Dominican Republic. The next one I'm going to talk about is the Global Emergency Care Program. So they're working as well actually in southwestern Uganda, and their focus, they're a single sending organization working with multiple partners on a continuous basis. And so what they're doing is actually the training the trainers model. So they're trying to also task shift nurse officers and other healthcare professionals to become emergency medical providers. And they do that by sending over emergency physicians from the United States to go and work with their local providers, hospitals, universities, and otherwise. Again, the staff from the U.S. go over for a short period of time, but they go over on a regular basis with multiple staff coming all throughout the year, and they're able to create a training program that leaves behind a long-term impact on the community, which is trained emergency medical workers. And the final organization I'm going to talk about, I'm not sure how I'm doing for time, is Child Family Health International. Okay, good, so I have lots of time. So Child Family Health International, they're a very large multinational working, as you can see, throughout the entire world. They have a really unique model. So they're, again, a single sending organization, but a large one, and they work with multiple partners around the world on an intermittent basis. So their students, their volunteers, they're more students who sign up for their programs to their different partnered sites, and the tuition payments that the students give in then go back to supporting the local partners' projects on the ground. So again, the students only go for a 2 to 4 week period of time overseas, but because it's under the umbrella of this larger organization, the payments come throughout the year and are able to actually support projects on the ground, whether that's developing a rabbit rearing project or looking into developing a healthcare center or an agricultural initiative of some sort. They're able to do this, again, through short-term experiences. So I guess I'll be a little bit under time in my project. In terms of some conclusions and things to take home from my presentation, hopefully the main one you'll take away from this is that not all short-term experiences are created equal. There is room for really positive development and really productive things to be done if you look at it in an innovative way, with an understanding that working in tandem with a local organization is critically important. So, although there is this thought process these days in academic centers and even in popular culture that you can't do a lot of good if you go for a short period of time, hopefully I presented you with a different understanding of that. This is a picture from the region we work in southwestern Uganda. And I guess we're doing questions at the end. So this is just a slide of all the different organizations I talked about today and some contact information if you're interested in learning more.